What's going on, y'all? This is Ryan X, and you are now tuned in to The Political Exchange. So, of course, I have to talk about what's going on in the news right now. What is the elephant in the room? What everyone is talking about. Of course, I am talking about the coronavirus. Now, before I even get into the policy, before I get into how this is going to affect niggas, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a nigga out here. I'm a young black man, intelligent young black man. But, you know, as I like to say, I'm just a nigga out here just trying to live. I like to keep this podcast real down to earth. You know, this is not any talking heads. This is not any pundits. This is not any of those people that you're going to see on CNN, MSNBC. And because of that, I hope that you all will support this podcast because that is the entire point. We want to bring a completely different perspective, a completely different intellectual paradigm, a different way of communicating to the people. That's what this podcast is for. This is a way to bring knowledge, because those types of news shows aren't meant to communicate with, say, people like black people. Like, I got a couple of my brothers out there, you know what I'm saying, who don't really like to watch the news. And I don't blame them, because the news sucks 9 times out of 10. And so that's the reason that I created this podcast, because I'm just a nigga just like y'all, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like y'all out here. I just happen to be very interested in the events that are happening in the world. And I know y'all are too. But the thing is, for me personally, I'm just extremely interested in reading all the variety of news. I read Fox News. I read Breitbart. Of course, I have to read things like CNN, MSNBC, ABC, Washington Post, New York Times. And I consolidate that into what you will get here. So that's the purpose of The Political Exchange. You might hear some sirens outside. I live in, you know, just a little area where it just be happening, you know. But in terms of the coronavirus, that's what we are going to be talking about today. And I think we just have to start off. We have to start off with acknowledging that we live in market-driven capitalism. We live in market-driven capitalism. And a lot of people will say that this is not the time to talk about politics. They say that this is not the time to talk about the intricacies of economics. But honestly, in my personal and quite frank opinion, I cannot think of a more appropriate time to talk about either of these ideologies and issues. These issues are never abstract for people who deal with them every single day. With poverty, with economic castration by the elite class, with intellectual manipulation by the media, people who deal with not knowing where they're going to get their next meal from, these types of issues, what we might call socialism, this is not some abstract thing that just might not work. This is a very important, critical issue that can have a dramatic impact on people's lives. And so I just want to come into this conversation with that kind of paradigm, with that kind of perspective on the situation that we have at hand. And when we're talking about the coronavirus, we're talking about a completely inexorably unprecedented situation that has never faced not only the United States of America, but the entire world. We're seeing things that have never happened in the global economy before. The last time that any type of economic disruption to this level has happened was, you know, World War I and World War II. And during both of those times, during both of those periods in time, the global economy was nowhere near as interconnected as it is today. Today, you have supply chains in China that are extremely critical to the production and the continual running of businesses in the United States of America. And in World War I and World War II, that was simply not the case. Today, it's undeniable that if China's economy collapses, it's going to have a dramatic impact on the United States of America. Obviously, not only the United States, but economies all over the world. And this is something else I want to talk about is the economy, the idea of measuring the impact of this unprecedented pandemic by how it affects our stock market. To me, that is ludicrous. It's almost psychopathic in a way. And once again, it goes back to this idea of market-driven capitalism. You have someone like Donald Trump, who is the president who does not take this pandemic of epic proportions. He does not take it serious. He has the doctors, the top doctors in the world. He has the World Health Organization. He has Italy. He has China. He has all of these countries trying to warn him, this is what's coming. This is what's at stake. And he does not heed the advice of the experts. Of course, you know, this is part of his ideology. This is part of right-wing ideology. He denies science. He denies the science. And I am not at all surprised by this. You know, I study right-wing ideology. I study conservatism. Last night, I even watched a Candace Owens live stream on Twitter where she continued to deny that we should be practicing social distancing. So I'm not surprised by any means. But what I will say is that when you have a president who refuses to acknowledge this until it's far too late, I mean, all of the experts at this point are saying that we are behind where Italy is. We've seen our stock market have 2 days in the last 2 weeks that were historic point drops. Last week, we had a 2,000-point drop that was a historic one since the 1980s. And then just this Monday, we had the largest stock market point drop in the history of the United States stock market. And so we see the economic impact. And now, just today, we saw Steve Mnuchin. Who is the head of the economic policy here in the United States. We saw him say that we could possibly see unemployment go to up to 20% in the United States of America. 20%. I'm not sure if you all understand how dramatic 20% is. I mean, I can't even, that's one in every five people is unemployed. Now, not only is that an economic problem, but that's a very much a social and political problem. And that's the reason that Trump just today, never in the history of Republican or conservatism would right-wing people, would Republicans, would conservatives ever consider the idea of a universal basic income, of handing checks, straight cash money. Never would Republicans and conservatives ever consider the idea of handing straight cash money to the people of the United States. But because of the situation that we're in, and more importantly, because of the dire threat that it poses to the economy, now the socialist policies, and this is quite clearly a socialist policy, the same exact type policy that Bernie Sanders, the Andrew Yang, this is the most socialist policy that you will get. This is a universal basic income. I have to stress this. This is socialist because people are losing their jobs. Small businesses are going out of business. They are going out of business. And there's nothing that we can do as a federal government. I mean, we tried injecting billions of dollars into the economy. It's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because people cannot go to work. People cannot spend money. You have to give the money directly to the people, not to the businesses. And that's what they were trying to do originally. They were trying to do tax cuts for businesses. They were trying to do tax cuts, but tax cuts only work for people who are actually working. If you're unemployed, you can't do shit, quite frankly. A tax cut doesn't work for people who don't have a job. So you have to give the money directly to the people, and that's what we're finally seeing them do today. Today is what? Tuesday, March 17th. Tuesday, March 17th. So this is really a historic day because the president of the United States, I don't really like to call him that, but the president of the United States, his name is Donald Trump. Republicans, conservatives embraced the idea of a universal basic income. And this is just absolutely, I mean, when you talk about historic, I can just not say it enough. I mean, and here's the crazy part. Before I even get to, I haven't even got to what I wanted to talk about yet. I mean, this stuff is just so crazy and changing so rapidly that I just had to just talk about a lot of the stuff that just happened today. I haven't even gotten to the point, to the stuff that I really want to talk about. But I mean, you have someone like Kamala Harris, who literally tweeted today that she made a bill that gives Americans $500 a month. And people laughed at her. If you looked at the comments on Twitter, I've been on Twitter a lot lately because I'm not in quarantine yet, but I am in I'm self-isolating. I'm social distancing. And so only times I really leave my house are just to go to the grocery store pretty much. Or originally I was going to work out, but they just closed my gym as well. And so you have Kamala Harris saying $500, and people on Twitter are like, Kamala, in California or New York, $500 isn't even enough to pay for your groceries for the month if you have a family. For your groceries, let alone your rent. Your rent probably costs at the minimum somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 if you live in California or New York. And you have Mitt Romney, who's proposing $1,500 in a universal basic income. So not only do you have this radical, which really isn't so radical, but in terms of American politics, you have this radical idea of universal basic income. Universal basic income. And you have a right wing who we would typically consider a bigot, but Mitt Romney's actually come around in some ways. But Mitt Romney, of all people, you have him further to the left than our first black woman presidential candidate, Kamala Harris. And it just shows you, it's just indicative of the state of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is in shambles. The Democratic Party is something to be embarrassed of at this point. I mean, their best chance at getting a presidential candidate to be elected is Joe Biden. My God, we're going to get into that a different day. We're going to get into that a different day. But I mean, as far as the coronavirus goes, I mean, that's what this episode is about. You know, probably the future episodes are going to continue to address the coronavirus. But now we're starting to see a lot of celebrities. We're starting to see a lot of celebrities be infected with this virus, be infected with the coronavirus. And so today or yesterday, we saw Idris Elba. We've seen Tom Hanks. And the craziest one to me, amongst those, which I'm still personally wondering, why are the rich elite people getting their own tests while the masses, while the people who are most likely to spread it, but more importantly, the people who don't have the resources to do anything about it, why are they not being tested while the rich and the elite, the NBA, Kevin Durant, I'm not mad that they're being tested, but I'm mad that they're being tested in replacement of everyday people. You have the elite being able to get tests from private companies while everyday people are still waiting to be tested. And because of that, they continue to spread the disease to who knows who, and probably to elderly people who are at risk or people who have respiratory problems who are at risk. Because of the fact that the elite are able to pay for these tests, the United States is in dire trouble. We really are in dire trouble. I fear that our situation is going to be far worse than Italy. Italy is in a very dire situation. I fear that the United States is even more ill-prepared. And more ill-prepared specifically because of our governmental leadership. And so, one of the craziest, I mean, when we're talking about celebrities, Cristiano Ronaldo literally bought an island. He bought an island and took his family to the island literally until the coronavirus ends. And I follow an account on Instagram called Daquan. It's a very famous account. They post very, very funny videos and memes, and they're very funny. I like Daquan's account on Instagram. But yesterday he posted this meme that showed Cristiano Ronaldo's family moving to their personal private island, and it said, one of the biggest flexes ever. And I'm like, this is not a flex. This is by no means a flex. This is literally the elite. These are millionaires and billionaires recognizing what's happening and fleeing to their bunkers so that they can escape the masses and any political turmoil that might result as a result of the masses being neglected by their governments, neglected by people, the oligarchs, the plutocrats. And you know, I'm not going to get into this, but I did tweet one of the crazy things to me. I tweeted yesterday. I was so mad because I was just thinking about people like Jeff Bezos, who have over $100 billion, over $100 billion in net worth. I tweeted, can you imagine being Jeff Bezos right now and single-handedly having enough money or wealth to keep literally all Americans from falling into severe poverty, but during this time, or into severe poverty during this time, and instead just being like, nah. And nonchalantly going on about your day, LOL. I tweeted that. And I got some love on it. You know, some people retweeted it. Some people liked it. I had these two cats who I didn't know. It was from one of the people who retweeted it. It was in their circle. Because people in my circle don't be saying stuff like this just to keep it hundo. But it was in their circle. I'm not mad at them, you know. I understand psychology, and when you understand psychology, you don't really get mad at people who say ignorant things anymore. And so, but you also expect them. You expect people to say them as well. But these two guys, they were like,
"Okay, so he earned his fortune. Why are you mad at him? If you want to be able to do that, make your own money."
It's an age old argument. I'm not even going to get into it, but it's just crazy to me that there are people who still believe that some white guy really earned the wealth of $100 billion. I don't know if people understand how much $100 billion is. And when you say $100 billion, you have to say it like that. You have to say $100 billion because it's absolutely astronomically ridiculous. Like, you have to get on a Stephen A. Smith when you say this. It's ludicrous. It makes me want to walk out the room when I hear people say that people worked hard to get $100 billion. And of course, you have to always bring up this idea that there are literally immigrants. You have immigrants who work three jobs. Immigrants who work three jobs to provide for their family and can still barely make it. You have black people who work two and three jobs, single moms who work two and three jobs, from 6 a.m., from 5 a.m., don't get home till 9, 10, 11 p.m., don't have time to take care of their kids. Kids might go to jail. And you have people who have the nerve to say that this white guy is, he just worked harder. And so he has, you know, he should be able to own $100 billion, more than many nations on earth, more than the bottom 50% of America, 150 million people. Just imagine the amount of people, 150 million people. That's people in multiple states. You have one old white man who owns more wealth than people in numerous states. Numerous states of people who work very hard. I can assure you. I've seen my parents work hard. My parents came from nothing. My parents came from nothing. I've seen my friends' parents who came from nothing. And to have people tell you that some white guy, some white man, some old white man worked hard and he deserves to have that amount of money is absolutely blasphemous. There's no other way to put it. It's blasphemous. But this last point that I want to get to here, this last point, you know, I could talk all day about that because that's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But before I get worked up about that, this last point that I want to talk about here, you know, number one, there's two things, actually. We have Google. Google owned YouTube. So Google is already, they have a lot of our data. We use Google for everything. Google search. Google accumulates. They are the top surveillance capitalist. Google intentionally and by business model, they rely on data and our data as human beings. What Shoshana Zuboff, the author of Surveillance Capitalism, what a lot of people, and specifically her, what she would call behavioral surplus. Behavioral surplus is essentially the idea that these companies, these surveillance capitalist companies like Google, Facebook, they extract our data. So that's besides the point, but Google, who owns YouTube, YouTube is now censoring videos related to the coronavirus, and they're censoring it using AI intelligent censorship. And so this is pretty scary. I mean, a lot of people are scared about how China, what China does, and they call China an authoritarian government, a centralized dictatorship. China is authoritarian. I'm, you know, keeping it a hundo. I got people over there. You know, I'm not trying to get them in trouble, but, you know, China is an authoritarian government, and most people will tell you that. I mean, they're not ashamed of it. It just is what it is, and that's one of the reasons that they were able to build their hospitals so fast is because they're very centralized. And I do not endorse things like what they're doing to the Uyghur people. I mean, absolutely atrocious. But anyhow, they're... YouTube is currently using artificially intelligent systems to censor videos. And so, to me, you know, and even to stifle, to mitigate the impact of the coronavirus, I have come to an understanding that we will probably have to give up many of our rights in much of a sense. We will have to allow for the government to consolidate and have a more centralized power and more of an authoritarian where we just kind of submit to what it is that they say is the best we should do. I mean, we're in that kind of situation in some sense where that might just be the best idea. But the question here is, how do we make sure that when this catastrophe, when this pandemic ends, that the government does not maintain that level of surveillance, that they don't maintain that level of authoritarianism, centralization? How do we ensure that we, when this is all over, have not permanently handed over all of our rights to the government? Because I'm not one of those people. I literally watched Candace Owens. If people don't know who Candace Owens is, she's a extremist. She's a right-wing extremist. She's a black woman, but she's a right-wing extremist. She's crazy. She's wild. I'm not a fan at all by any means. She's racist to black people. She's racist to all people. She sucks, quite frankly. And I was watching a video that she made yesterday, and she was urging people to continue living their normal lives and not to do social distancing. That's just crazy to me. And I mean, in very much of a sense, that's kind of why I'm like, maybe we do need, in a sense, to have some censorship, because there is a lot of misinformation. I mean, just when I was on Facebook a couple days ago, I saw some misinformation that I had to comment on someone's post and be like, this is not correct, you know? And there, especially on Facebook, I mean, and you have an older audience on Facebook as well, and people who just aren't as likely to look up, you know, what's the source of this meme or of this graphic or this picture. They'll see a graph and they'll just accept it as the truth. And there's so much information flowing on Facebook at all times that it's almost impossible, you know, to be able to take truth from fact. And so that's why so many people are not taking coronavirus seriously. And I don't blame them in very much of a sense. I mean, of course, I take coronavirus very seriously. But the government has lied to us over the years. And the government has, and especially the media has overblown things. And so now you have a very large group of people who are like, this is just like the swine flu. This is the bird flu. This is this. And this is, what's the difference? And I can't blame them, because the media sucks. They really do. They really do. And so people like Candace Owens, I think, are very dangerous. People who spew misinformation, I think, are very dangerous. And so I think that, you know, while it's probably a good thing that YouTube is currently censoring misinformation, I'm just concerned about what happens after this is over. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up as a concern that I have. The second concern that I have is, just like I mentioned, China is dealing with this really, really well. I mean, they were the very first country, specifically in Wuhan, to deal with this pandemic. And because of their centralization, because of their authoritarianism, they were able to organize their society enough to curb this pandemic. And very quickly, I mean, they built hospitals in a number of weeks, unheard of in the history of civilization, of human civilization. We've never seen anything like what China has done in order to curb this pandemic. It's crazy to me. I mean, they even built things like sanitizing tunnels, where literally before they would walk into their place of employment, they would walk through this tunnel that sprayed them with all types of shit. I don't know what kind of shit it was. Some type of sanitizing type shit. And it would literally just sanitize them. And they created these new solutions within the matter of weeks and months. They had sanitizing tunnels. They had sanitizing carpets that would clean their shoes off. They had nonstop subway station cleaning. And only in a place like China. I'm not advocating that we turn into an authoritarian country, because China is fucked up in very many ways. China is very fucked up as far as like the Uyghur people and what they're doing. Concentration camps. Shit's wild, my G. Like, straight up, that shit's crazy. Got me pissed. Dead ass. And so, I mean, we do have to kind of think about how can we, as a market capitalist country, which in my opinion we shouldn't be, but as a market capitalist country who also very much has a lot of Christian fundamentalism in it, and a lot of Christians and a lot of fundamentalist Christians are going to be like, yo, all we need to do is pray to God. This is what God, they're going to open up the scripture book and be like, hey, yo, this is what God said was going to happen. and they're going to disregard the scientists because they already do that when it comes to climate change. It's crazy. The United States is a crazy-ass country. It's not like any other country on Earth. I mean, China is very much a secular country. Italy, nowhere near as, you know, religiously fundamentalist as what we are in the United States. And there are preachers who are telling people to continue to go to church because God, and continually telling people at church to shake hands, to hug, passing this virus along. It's unbelievable. And so I think what the United States government, I mean, in the last couple of days, we've seen the government continually spewing this propaganda, trying, and I follow a lot of right-wing talking heads, people like Terrence, I don't know what his last name is, I don't pay attention, but Terrence, Candace Owens, another guy named Kirk, can't remember what his last name is either. But, you know, I follow a lot of these right-wing talking heads. And what they say, you can kind of get a pulse on what Trump is going to say in, you know, a day or two just by following what those people are saying. And so I follow them, and I follow Breitbart, and I follow the National Review, and I follow Fox News to know what Trump is going to say in a day or two. And so they started calling it the Chinese virus. They started calling it the Wuhan virus. Very racist. One guy even called it the Ching Chong virus. This guy named this black guy named Terrence, who recently went to the White House. He literally called it the Ching Chong virus. These disgusting slurs that people are using in a time when humanity really needs to come together, when we really need to come together as one. We have the United States government attempting to pin this on China. And what my hypothesis, and I follow a writer named Caitlin Johnston, what her hypothesis is as well, is that, you know, if you look back to World War One and World War Two, the United States really got its position as the world superpower was because of the way that the United States came out of World War One and World War Two, when all these other nations were depleted. When they were depleted, and because they hadn't approached the war in the right way and they didn't come out of it the right way. This exact same situation is happening. I mean, we even have people calling it the war on coronavirus, and all of the experts are comparing this, the impact, the economic impact, the political impact of this pandemic to a world war. And so China is clearly the most prepared to come out of this situation. I mean, just today, they only had one new infection. One. The United States is nowhere near the peak of our infection. We don't even know if we can flatten the curve yet. Like, we're not even close to where Italy is, and Italy's in the worst of it. And so, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I think that the United States government is very concerned with the fact that China is going to come out of this a lot better than we are, because the United States likely will be dealing with this well into August of this year. You know, our stock market, like I said, depleted, completely depleted yesterday. The worst in the history of our country. And I think that the United States government is scared, and because of that, they're spewing and propagating as much propaganda as possible, anti-Chinese propaganda. And one of the crazy things here, is that they actually did a poll, and anti-Chinese sentiment is at a 20-year high in the United States, specifically at a time when the Chinese people and the Chinese nation and government are dealing with a very bad issue, when all of humanity should be united. Chinese anti-Chinese sentiment is at a 20-year high. And so that just should give you kind of, you know, a pulse on what the intentions of the U.S. government are, because they have specifically and intentionally, if you have not seen, if you turn on Fox News, If you turn on any right wing, you know, information source, you'll see that they are intentionally trying to label this the China virus. And Trump just tweeted that yesterday. Previously, before these outlets had been referring to it as China virus, he was calling it the coronavirus. But once he saw that his base and racist people, basically white people, the right, the political right, were calling it the Chinese virus, he started calling it that as well. And that is very concerning. That's very concerning because it just shows how scared the United States is of having China outpace us, outpace the United States, and as a world power. And so, like I said, a lot of crazy shit going on in our world, in our country specifically. But, you know, it's just me. And I'm just out here chilling. I'm cooling. I'm working from home, like I said, you know. My job just got me out here chilling. And I'm just going to continue to read the news, man. I'm going to try to stay as informed as I possibly can. This shit is crazy. I mean, there was 9/11. If people who are, you know, my age, if you're under the age of 30, I was reading today. If you're under the age of 30, there's been a few huge, you know, moments in your life. There's been 9/11. I think I was maybe in kindergarten, first grade when 9/11 happened. I can barely remember it. And so we had 9/11, which was basically like our Pearl Harbor in the history of the United States. Like, if you're under the age of 30, 9/11 was like your Pearl Harbor. It was like your World War. And ever since then, our country's been at war. And, you know, the only other significant events we had were the 2008 recession and, you know, the wars that we've been continually waging against other countries. But the two big events prior to this were 9/11 and the 2008 recession. And right now, literally right now, we are living through a very, very, very historical moment in the history of not only the world or not only of the country, but of the world. You know, we're living through history not only of the United States, absolutely history of the United States. I mean, unprecedented. I cannot say this enough, what's happening with coronavirus and its impacts on the economy. It's just astounding to me. So I hope you all will stay safe. Please stay safe, man, and women and non-gender conforming people as well. Please stay safe. Please. Because and young people, please do not go out. Please do not go out, my young people, you know, people my age. Feel me? Come on. I don't know how long it's going to last, but just come on, man. For real. Deadass, G. Like, it's not that serious. Like, I know some of y'all niggas is trying to get on shorties. Some of y'all shorties is trying to get on niggas. But just come on, my G. Like, it's never that serious. You can just wait it out. You know, gotta do what you gotta do. But, you know, just wait it out, G. It's never that serious to be out here infecting other people just because you didn't feel like staying inside. So, that's all I got to say for this episode. I just wanted to make sure I made some time to talk to y'all. I'm probably gonna be back here as frequently as possible while this pandemic is happening, bringing y'all updates as much as I can. So thank you all again for tuning in to the Political Exchange. Of course, I hope that you are finding value in this podcast. And if you are, please make sure you subscribe to our channel on whatever platform you're listening, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I love y'all. Thank you. And be safe.